Fiction writing basics can be downloaded from www.mjvliterary.com and www.mattmcavoy.com. Welcome to the fourth and final lesson in Fiction Writing Basics, Preparing to Publish. Now, when I say preparing to publish, I do mean this quite vaguely. It may not even necessarily be accurate. What I actually mean is the moment you think, right, I've finished my book, now I can publish it, or submit it, put it down for good, lock it away, whatever your plans are for it. If you reach this point and you think that that's the hard work over, well, think again, because the real work is only just beginning. There is an infinite amount of marketing work which can follow, but as I mentioned in the introduction, this isn't a marketing course. What I'll focus on in this lesson are the main stages between completion and publication, and I'll go through them methodically. So the first thing you need to do is get your book read. Get it read by as many people as possible. But most importantly, consider investing in a good professional beta reader. You should do this before you do anything else. There's no point in paying for editorial work or publishing, only to have a beta reader tear your book to pieces critically and for credibility. The money you've spent on the editing work will be down the drain if you end up having to rewrite your book. So get it beta read first. If you get a beta reader with a good reputation, then please, please trust their advice. You can believe how many authors submit to me saying they ignored their editor, and then they're surprised that I pick up the same points their editor did, so they end up having to do the work anyway. So please, if your beta reader or your editor tells you to do something, please take their advice. And as far as the beta reader is concerned, don't dwell on the negative. Take positives from constructive criticism and turn around the negatives. The beta reader is not there to ruin your confidence. They're there to help you become a better writer. If they're criticizing your work, if they're analyzing your work, then they're doing so constructively, so please listen to them. A beta reader's job, they'll identify plot holes, incredulities in the plot and the character. They'll question inconsistent timelines. They'll highlight grammar issues. And if they're knowledgeable in a particular field, they may query copyright or potentially libelous issues. They'll also focus directly on instructions you give them. For example, if there's one particular aspect of your book you would like them to focus their beta reading on, you want an appraisal on that aspect, they'll follow your instructions. Don't scoff at the fee a beta reader charges. They're not expensive. And sometimes they don't charge one at all, but they may save you invaluable time and money in the editing submission process. So employing a beta reader is an investment. If you do have concerns about copyright, including plagiarism or reproduction of text, you really do need to sort these out right now at this stage before you do anything else. The same goes for potentially libelous words or situations. If your character is unambiguously similar to a real life person, whether that person's dead or alive, any issues of legal complication or doubts you may have in this respect should not be left until later. And this is where soliciting the knowledge of your beta reader or editor comes in which case it is probably far more prudent to find a specialist beta reader who reads particular types of book. So this brings me to the next step, copy editing. Obviously, before commissioning a beta reader, you should have finalized your proof. In other words, any editing and rewriting on your part should have already been completed. But that very, very rarely, if ever, means that no further editing will be necessary. Whether you're self-publishing or submitting to publishers or agents, your book will need to be copy edited, or at the very least, proofread. Publishers, if they take you on, they'll generally get their own people to do this if they sign your book, but that definitely does not mean you should leave the work to them. I mean, don't forget, you still have to get to that stage first. You have to get your manuscript past the agents and publishers, and if the grammar's not up to scratch, they're not going to be impressed. So the message here is, whether you're traditionally publishing or self-publishing, you should always invest in commissioning a book editor before you submit it to either copy edit or proofread your work. As I said before, this is as well as your own final edits and should be carried out after the beta reading stage. All authors, however good they are, however professional or prolifically published, they employ the services of a copy editor. I make my own living from copy editing and proofreading, and many of my clients have been published for years. So don't even think about self-publishing your book or submitting it to agents or publishers until the copy is, in your mind, flawless. So what are your plans for the book? Are you planning to self-publish it, or are you submitting it to be hopefully signed by a publisher? Now, this is not a flippant decision. This is one you need to think long and hard about, and I'll explain why. Obviously, in the mind of most authors, and certainly debut authors, a publishing deal is the holy grail. But is it necessarily right for you? Giving rights to your book to a publisher means one very clear thing: you don't own them anymore. So you don't have the autonomy of future plans for your book, film, TV rights, sequels, parts of a series, etc. They do. Self-publishing means that you keep all of the rights, not to mention all of the royalties. And then, of course, there's another very likely possibility: they might not want your book. Short stories and novellas generally don't get picked up unless they're by established or well-known authors. Unless you've written a collection of shorts, the only real format for publication for a short story is an ebook, and most publishers won't deal with an ebook only title. Furthermore, publishers and agents are guided very heavily by the market, particularly in Europe. Most publishers won't read unsolicited manuscripts, and they do tend to favour submissions from agents only. Some do. Some will entertain unsolicited manuscripts, but they tend to be the smaller, more independent publishers, and they may not have a great deal of money. Now, I know we all want to help each other out. They want to help new authors, and you know, you like the idea of getting on with a startup publisher, but the last thing you want is to get tied into a contract with a publisher who can't afford to sell your book. So where you can, you should try and get an agent, for lots of reasons. Obviously, the nature of an agent is that they will get you a better deal. You're their client, and they'll do their best for you. The problem is, of course, certainly in the UK, book agents are often harder to get than publishers. The nature of an agent in any field is to make money, and they do that ruthlessly by sticking to market trends. For example, if you happen to send one a book about transgender vampires at a time when transgender vampires are what their publisher clients are after, you've got more chance of being signed up by them. So in this respect, I would say don't be disheartened by rejections, of which you will get a lot, by the way. They are probably more about the genre and subject in relation to the current market than they are about your work itself. In fact, the chances are, if your genre isn't the flavour of the month at the moment, an agent probably won't even have read your submission. So the message here is, please don't take rejections personally, even if you get scores of them, which you probably will. But if you're determined to hold out for a traditional deal, then don't give up. Now, there are some authors that choose to self-publish their work in the meantime whilst they continue submitting it to agents. Now, by all accounts, this is a huge mistake, and I would strongly advise against it. Agents and publishers are extremely reluctant to sign previously self-published work by unknown authors. The logic being, if you had no success with it, then why should they take a chance? Another reason is that if they take on and publish your book, how do they know how many previous versions of it are still out there somewhere on the internet, which may go on to affect your book or even their brand? So they are reluctant to take a chance on self-published authors. The exception, I suppose, is if you've got tens of thousands of sales from self-publishing. It might be a different story then, and it might give you leverage with agents and publishers. Most of us won't fit into that category, so think very carefully before self-publishing your book, if you're after a traditional deal. Now, another option is to compile a list of agents and publishers and work through it submitting to them. If you reach the end of your list and have had no offers, then it may be time to resign yourself to self-publishing this title and concentrate on the next one, which may have more luck with the traditional path. I do need to make an important point here. I mentioned compiling a list of all the agents and publishers. Believe me, this will be a long list. I know this because I've done it. But whatever you do, don't spam them. Publishing professionals have a very high opinion of themselves, and they do like to think your interest in them is exclusive. So do your homework on them, their preferred genres, other titles they've worked with, etc., and then prioritise them. Submit to them in small batches of, say, 3 to 5 at a time. Then spend time chasing up the first batch before you give up on it and submit to the second batch. Now, this may take a long time. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. Don't think if you spam them, they won't find out and you'll get away with it, because they will find out. Many publishers tend to subcontract the same editors and readers, and there is a chance that your duplicated submission will reach the same person more than once. Once that happens, of course, you're rumbled, and they'll realise they weren't the centre of your universe and they won't like it. Okay, so I've talked about preparing to self-publish or submit your book, but how do you actually go about doing it? I'll start with self-publishing because it's a little bit more straightforward. There is free software you can use to create your book at home, your ebook and your audiobook. But I will say that experience definitely improves the quality you'll produce. Formatting an ebook can be a nightmare, and it rarely displays the way you hoped it would. Likewise, creating a print book can be expensive if you have to keep reproofing it. If you can find a reasonably priced professional to do this for you, I highly recommend it. And I assure you, I advise this with no ulterior motive. When self-publishing, your book really does need to be on Amazon, unfortunately, iTunes, increasingly on Audible for audiobooks, and unquestionably, it must be listed on Goodreads. A Goodreads account is free, and if your book is on Amazon, it should be there, so check its entry. This is where reviewers will find you, and book reviews for a new book are absolutely essential. Unfortunately, you can't rely on Amazon reviews because they delete them for fun. NetGalley is a marketplace for self-published authors' books to be picked up by professionals, and by all accounts a very effective one. But NetGalley is quite expensive, so it may be out of reach for many debut authors. Now, when your book is published, one way or the other, create a good marketing strategy based around social media and book reviews. Get as many reviews as possible and mention them on social media as often as possible. I can't emphasize enough how important these reviews are, as well as interviews and author guest spots. Get as many as you can, and promote them extensively. I'll wrap up the course now with how to submit your book to professionals. It's not simply a case of putting it in the post or attaching it to an email. Most agents or submission editors will receive on average 50 submissions a week, and they clearly don't have time to read unsolicited manuscripts. More so, they'll get very frustrated if you don't adhere to their submission process. Firstly, send them an email. Make sure it's personally addressed to the relevant person and is not generic. In the email, write a couple of paragraphs about the book, about yourself, your ambitions for the book, and your achievements as an author. If you've won any awards, certificates, prizes, put it in the email. Try to make the book sound appealing, with 100 or so words of blurb. Don't drag this email out much more than that. They won't read it. And besides, you're going to tell them more about the book in your synopsis, which you should attach. If they like the email, they'll read the synopsis. And if they like the synopsis, they'll ask for sample chapters. This is pretty much the standard submission process. Don't be tempted to attach your sample chapters or manuscript until they ask for it, but do give them the synopsis as an attachment in your introductory email. You might catch someone's fancy on a whim. Occasionally, a publisher may ask to see your CV. Now, if you're submitting non-fiction, there's obviously a very clear reason for this. They need to check your credibility and they need to verify your eligibility to write the book you're writing. However, if you're a fiction writer, I'm not keen on this, I'll be honest. I don't understand why a publisher would need to see your CV if you're submitting fiction writing. And it's something I consider quite elitist and quite discriminatory. But if they ask for it, then give it to them. It's as simple as that. Now, back to the synopsis. It is an extremely important part of the submission process. It's possibly the most important part. If you don't impress with the synopsis, they will ask for nothing more from you. So it has to be perfect, or at the very least, the best you can make it. There is a pretty standard format for writing your synopsis in terms of the information, layout, structure, and template, and you are very strongly advised to do your homework about this before sending one off. It should include the book's title, the author's name, the word count. The first paragraph should be a nutshell summary of the book's concept, clearly identifying its basic storyline and genre. Then, outline the plot's most important bullet points in chronological order. Introduce the important characters and their relevance. Their name should be in uppercase on the first mention of them. Now, don't be afraid to add spoilers in a synopsis. The professional doesn't care about blurb. He or she just wants to know what happens in your book. And most importantly, you should try to achieve all of this in less than 1,000 words. Probably closer to 700 or 800, in fact. For the final exercise in fiction writing basics, I think it's appropriate that we work on your submission. So do your research, find out how to create your synopsis, and attach it to your unsolicited introductory email. Remember, don't attach work until you've been asked for it, even a sample chapter. If you've upgraded the course, send me your test submission, and I'll happily offer feedback and advice on your email, and most importantly, your synopsis. If you haven't upgraded the course, you can go ahead and do this on the website course page. So that brings us to the end of Fiction Writing Basics. I hope you've gained some useful information from the course, and most importantly, that it's helped to encourage you to create your book with a little bit more confidence. If you have any questions about any aspect of the course or would like to give feedback, please feel free to contact me by email at authors@mjvliterary.com. So, thanks again for downloading Fiction Writing Basics. I wish you the very best of luck with your book, and I hope to receive it for review soon. Thank you.